and stumping out on the deck interrupted my reflections, though I made a mental note of the topic for use in a projected essay which I had thought of calling The Necessity for Freedom, a plea for the artist. The red-faced man shot a glance up at the pilot house, gazed around at the fog, stumped across the deck and back, he evidently had artificial legs, and stood still by my side, legs wide apart, and with an expression of keen enjoyment on his face. I was not wrong when I decided that his days had been spent on the sea. "It's nasty weather, like this here, that turns head gray before their time," he said, with a nod toward the pilot house. "I had thought there was any particular strain," I answered. "It seems as simple as ABC. They know the direction by compass, the distance, and the speed. I should not call it anything more than mathematical certainty." "Strain," he snorted. "Simple as ABC. Mathematical certainty." He seemed to brace himself up and lean backward against the air as he stared at me. "How about this here tide that's rushing out through the Golden Gate?" he demanded, or bellowed rather. "How fast is she ebbing? What's the drift, eh? Listen to that, will you? A bell bow, and we're on top of it. See him alerting the course?" From out of the fog came the mournful tolling of a bell, and I could see the pilot turning the wheel with great rapidity. The bell, which had seemed straight ahead, was now sounding from the side. Our own whistle was blowing hoarsely, and from time to time, the sound of other whistles came to us from out of the